Would everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome everybody tonight. Next on the agenda is roll call, and we have all council members here tonight. Now we'll go to current business, volunteer recognition. Can I get Anna and Dave Sparrow and Anita to come up front here? Full-time quiet school district. Now Wednesday, she gets off work and comes to the police department. Okay, next on the agenda is discussion relevant to water rates. Spencer?
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. We have an ordinance right now, a city ordinance, water that sets the water rates. This ordinance is for sets the water rates for 3 years, 2011, 12, and 13. So that means we're coming to the end of the time that this ordinance is in effect, and we need to start looking at the water rate ordinance for the next 3 years, for the years 14, 15, and 16. I've prepared a couple of documents to help us through this conversation. The ordinance that we have right now, attached to the memo on board docs are three different items. There's one is a clip of an Excel document that I'm going to use here in just a sec. I'm going to sit back down on my computer so we can talk through a couple different scenarios and different rates and what that means for the city and capital projects coming down the pike. And I had two other documents that I prepared for you. One is an impact to a community member. We took what we thought would be an average water rate paid by a member of the community and put those on a sheet for you. And for your use, and hopefully it makes it a little bit easier, I printed that sheet for you. Here, I'm going to go back. I'm going to bring that up here. So here's a chart that shows if we're looking at a 4, 5, 6% increase, what this would mean to the average member of the community. We took, to get these rates, or to get our average, we took a household of 5 and a household of 2 and averaged their monthly water bill put them together and divided by 2 to get an average. For a water bill, there are two different parts of a water bill. There's the basic meter there's just a basic flat rate. And then above that, so that's in yellow, that's on the top. Then the second item there, you can kind of see, is the water overages. So you pay a basic rate for a meter, and then for the units of water, you pay a rate for the what you use. So in the green on the very bottom, this is $59.20. That's the average cost right now. So you can use the spreadsheet as we talk through the other Excel spreadsheet. When we're looking at rates, there are a couple different things, really important things that we need to consider. One is, if we're going to increase a rate, how is this going to affect the community? How is this going to affect us and our neighbors? The second thing is we want to look at the infrastructure needs of the system, in this case the water system. And the needs of the water system, that's an important thing to consider also. We've got to consider the quality of water, the future needs of the system, and the water needs in volume. So I'm going to go down to my computer and we're going to talk a little bit through. Oh, I have one other attachment here. And the last attachment was called the water rate comparison. And this is just hopefully something that puts our rates in perspective to the rates, water rates around Washington State. This is something that was put together by the Association of Washington Cities. And each city looks at their water rates a little bit differently, or measures their water usage a little bit differently. And so when the Association of Washington Cities took all of the water rate information from all these different cities, they converted it into cubic feet. So they have 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, I believe, cubic feet usage, and the cost for a household in the different communities. There are a whole bunch of different communities listed on there. I don't remember how many off the top of my head, but there are a few hundred within the state of Washington that they look at. And that's just as a reference for it. So hopefully, can you hear me? I want to look at water rates and what different rates would mean for the city. Our last ordinance, like I said, was a three-year ordinance for 2011, 12, and 13, and we had a 4% increase built into the rate schedule for each one of those years. And so I started with a 4% here, 4%, 4%, 4%. Here we're going to look at a couple of different scenarios, and in yellow here you can see I have it at 6% now, but it's in Excel, so we can change it and move it around. I wanted to just briefly walk you through the spreadsheet, not in detail, but just say basically what the spreadsheet does. And then I'm going to hide some of these cells so we can just focus on the important pieces. This spreadsheet looks at the water fund, two funds, the water fund and the water reserve fund, which are companion funds. It looks at the revenues and the expenses of each one of those funds and the fund balances that we need to have in each fund. So when we're, the first thing that's up here are the revenues up here. We have an escalator built in to show an increase in revenues every year. The expenses have a similar escalator built in because naturally the revenues and expenses in that fund increase every year. So we have 2013. This ordinance will cover 2014, 15, and 16. And so here we have revenues there. We come down to expenses. And the expenses, we have a section in here that we're going to be looking at. We have three different things that we're going to be looking at the spreadsheet. In yellow up here, we have the possible rate increase. Down here, we have capital infrastructure needs. Right here is, this is well nine for 2014. And then we're looking down the pike at, down a few years at another well 10. So we're going to play with moving this up in years and out in years. And then we come to the very bottom. We have ending fund balance here for the water fund, and then ending fund balance for the water reserve fund. Each one of these funds has a minimum fund balance of $200,000 per resolution. So the bottom number down here is the sum of the water fund and the water reserve fund. So that bottom, this bottom line down here in yellow, shouldn't go below $400,000. For those funds. So I'm going to hide I waited too long so Excel forgot what I wanted to hide. I'm going to hide just a few rows here. So we can see everything. Hopefully we can. Just a few more so we can see things. So up here we have a rate increase. Down here we have the expenses, the capital expenses. That's the infrastructure. And then down here in yellow we have the ending fund balance of both funds, which should be $400,000 for both of them. When we're looking through this, for the expenses, for the capital expenses in this section, we have to make some guesses when we're looking at the infrastructure needs for when we look out 3 and 4 years. Up here, or like I said, we have well 9 here. That's this year. Also this year, we have the rehab projects. And those, I just have those up to the side. $265,000. Of this 581 right here is for the well rehab, and then we have $300,000 budgeted for street or water projects to accompany the street projects, and then we have some a new Orion laptop, a special meter reader for the water system. So this year we have $581,000. In capital with those few items plus our well 9. In future years, the 581 right here is kind of high. So I took that down to 400,000 in future years. And so we're planning out $400,000 in capital expenses for future years. plus 10. So right now we have 6% built in into this calculation. We have our ending fund balance in 2014 of $561,000, right towards the bottom of the screen there. It might be a little. Might be easier if I can just point up here. So if we move this down to 4%, here's 4%. Here's a 4% change. Our ending fund balances are still over the $400,000 minimum for the two. We have well 10 here, which we would like to have. We have the two different parts of well 10. We have the drilling and the housing of the well, then we have the water line up here. If we move that project up to start in 2015 and finish in 2016, you can see that what that's doing to our bottom line here. We have a negative $800,000 roughly, and then that just goes out. The thing that we need to look at when we're looking at the rates are two different things. One, the impact to the community here, and two, when do we want the well 10 to come in? When do we want these future projects to come on? If we take this well and we move it out to 2016 and 17, we've had another year's worth of savings to build up for the well project, so we don't dip into the red until 2016. Let's change that rate increase to a 5% increase. You can see our minimum fund balances are just getting better and better. So the two things that, well, I already said that, the two things that we need to consider are the capital needs and the impact to the community. So here I've moved well 10 all the way out to years 2017 and 18. Let's move it back in and look at a 6% increase. A 6% increase means that we'll go into the red in years 2000 with a 6% increase with the well 10 in years 2015 and 16 means that we'll go into the red for those 2 years. We have significant fund balance right now, but that's for the Well 9 project that we're going to be putting in 2014. So 6%, and if we move Well 10 out a few years, we're getting quite a bit closer. We have a projected ending fund balance in 2016 of negative $128,000, and then projected in 2017, we're coming up. This is after the well is just rounding up here. And this would mean in 2018 it would be a much, I don't go out that far, but it would be a much bigger number on top of the $200,000 that's in year 2017. So we met with the water, here this is what I started with, 6% well 10 starting in 2017, finishing in 2018. This gives us a longer time to save up for the well, for that water project. This is also including the tower rehab that we're doing. So there. With that said, we met with the Water and Sewer Committee earlier, not last week, I believe the week before, and we talked through some of these rate increases. The consensus from that committee was that we want to push well 10 off to start in 2017, as I'm showing here, and I consider a 6% increase to the rates for this fund. I guess that's kind of the groundwork. That's what I wanted to show you tonight. Really, this is a judgment call. We have to weigh what we want. The sooner we have these infrastructure projects, the higher the rate needs to be. The further out, the lower that rate can be. So when we're looking at the future growth of the city, the quality of water, the volume of water, all those things need to be looked at here. Did you have a few comments, Wade?
No, just to sum up what Spencer was saying, what we talked about with the Water Committee the other week was that to provide the citizens of Othello with a reliable, steady source of water from now and in the future, it's going to take more of an increase from 4% to 6% to do that. And, you know, it's about messaging. If the public doesn't see that, it's important that we message it correctly. The other piece that we need to emphasize is the bottom line to the consumer, which includes me who lives in the city. You know, on my water bill, we're only talking a few dollars increase every year. And so that's, you know, it sounds, 6% sounds like a lot every year. You know, when you look at it like that, when you look at it in dollars and cents, like what Spencer has up right there, it's not a lot to guarantee a steady, clean, reliable source of water. And without doing this, then we're going to find ourselves in a bind. You know, we have to have the tower projects to get the water towers refurbed, and we need to continue to drill those wells. And if we don't, we're going to find ourselves boxed into a corner. And then, like some communities you've heard about, you know, raising the rates 10, 15, 20% in 1 year. And we don't want to do that because that makes it really tough. Now those $1 and $2 and $3 figures go up to, you know, $10, $15, $20, and that's a little more significant. So that's pretty much all I had to add.
So on the sheet right here, you can see if we have a 4% increase, which has been the standard increase that we've experienced for the last 3 years, that would be an additional average cost per month of an additional $2.37 per consumer. And then you can see the 5, 6, and 7%. Down here, these numbers down here show the amount over the 4%. So if we're looking at 4% as a standard, we're going to go at least 4%. This is at 6%, it would be an additional $1.18 over that 4%, which is the $3.55. With that, we would like to come back to the council on the 9th with the water rate ordinance, and we'll put this information together in a package that you can take a look at.
And the other thing we do, Spencer, I want to add, is put together some good messaging, both for the paper and to go in the water bills, to show the benefits of this and what we get for the lower cost. I say we, because again, I'm a citizen here too, what we get for this little bit of increase, and send out the messaging, both in the paper and water bills and whatever else we can think of. I think it would fly pretty well at that point.
Hey, Terry. In 2015, you're gonna talk about TIB grants shortly. Are we going to be doing water lines on 14th?
Yes, sir.
There is that project also.
Yes.
And first?
Okay.
A lot of work there, or just a little bit?
Got a couple of comments from Spencer here. One thing I think a lot is going to depend on well 10 is how well number 9 comes in. If it comes in like we're hoping to be a better well than what the average is, that would alleviate another year or so we can have a little time there to make up the difference. The other question I got, we're talking about household here. What about our commercial or industrial water? Is that going to change those rates to the same level? Because
yes.
Why I'm saying that is because, like Simplot, we have a special contract with them. And you'll have to be careful, and you better read that. Be sure that you've got that in there, because we pushed that pretty hard to get their amount of water rates up so that we could a better level than what we had. And we increased them quite a bit, and I don't remember for sure on the final portion. That maybe somebody else on that committee could remember. But anyway, it was kind of questionable on how fast we could raise that rate. So you might want to look at that contract,
Spencer,
and get that.
Yeah. And Ken, Spencer and I met with the two gentlemen from Simplot last week to discuss this and showed them what the effect was going to be. We figured out an average of what it was going to be on their bottom line, and they were okay with it. They just wanted to know how much it was. And so it goes just what you said. Starts raising them up the regular industrial rate plus the 6% and told them that may be what you all decide. We're not sure yet, but if it goes to 6, here's what it would be. And they were okay with it. They just needed to know, and they were fine.
It seemed like most of the time with them, if you're up front with them and tell them ahead of time so they can put it in their budget, why they don't have a problem with it. But if you kind of blindside them, why then that's
all they wanted, was to know what it was. And so I thought it was a very successful meeting.
Yeah, that was exactly their concern.
What about McCain's?
We haven't met with them.
There's no contract that I know of for McCain's. They're paying full price right now. I would like to eventually see them on a contract, possibly in the future. But I know they've also got plans for future wells themselves to deal with, too. So, but we've also got a contract with Water District 1, which they're at 1.5%.
They're at 1.5% for the outside city rate, so they follow the outside city rate directly, which is the 1.5%.
Mm-hmm. Other questions?
I have a question. Just out of curiosity, Terry, the capital expenditures that we've got budgeted there for 2014 on up, those are including the capitals to replace the lines between, what is that, 7th and 14th, that area, when we start doing those street projects? Well, on the future capital expenditures.
Yeah, you got some. You don't have all
of it. You don't have all of it.
You don't have enough. The street side, you don't have enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just the street overlays.
Yeah.
And you got your water line.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Are we planning for that in our capital expenditures?
That's what we're planning for.
Okay. Because that's another capital expenditure we're going to have is replacing those water lines as we do those overlays between 7th and 14th, Ash to Hemlock.
And the tower maintenance program is covered under the capital expenditures right now in the 581 for 2014 and then the 400,000, Rich? Yes, that's in there.
There might be some money out there that you might be able to do something on and refurbishing those water tanks. I don't know. I'm looking into it, see if we could find something on that, because I think that's a pretty good chunk, and I think it comes under the Clean Water Act. I'm not sure, but I think there might be some money out there that you can get a hold of to help that fund out. So,
go for it. Don't be bashful. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Spencer. Oh, you got something? Just go ahead, Dan. John?
Yes, it is.
So that's total water cost for that.
Yes. So in this, in, oh, sorry, it wasn't this table. The comparison table that you're referencing, yeah, we're comparing apples to apples when we're looking at our community versus others.
If they want to pay for it,
yeah,
they can put three-quarter line in.
I was going to say.
Well, right now they're paying a higher rate for the one-inch line than they are for the three-quarter inch line.
It's on the same line.
Yeah.
It is.
It's,
yeah.
Is it one and below?
And another thing to consider about the chart, I know that we're listed on there, we're towards the bottom of the list statewide, but one of the things the state looks at when they are considering us for grants is where you are at with your water rates. If you are at the bottom or towards the bottom of the list of cities statewide, and it doesn't really, I don't think it really matters what size city you are, if you are towards the bottom, if you're not at least towards the middle, you're not going to get a grant because you're not considered to have done your due diligence in collecting revenues to maintain your system.
Okay.
So that is another thing that we want to consider, is that you don't want to be at the bottom of the list. And one of the things we discussed in the water committee is that we're not just look. I mean, we're looking at a 2% basically increase above what the increase normally is. But we've also got a lot of capital expenditures that are going to be going into the system to maintain that clean water. We want to provide the best water we can to the customers. So that system has to be maintained, and we've got a lot of maintenance that needs to be done. And a lot of it's, you know, replacing water lines when we do the street projects and in the towers, which in the long run, that is, that system, that program is going to save us a lot of money.
So how
It will happen and it won't happen. It'll happen in 2013 and previous years. You're right. We've had a significant amount of money that we've been able to put back into that reserve fund with the idea that we're saving up for well 9. If we have well 10 out in 2017, this would allow us to put money back into the reserves for 2014, 15, 16. Then there'd be the big expense in 17. So it'd kind of be that cycle.
What's been nice is, when we go back on the past, what the cities did back in the 70s and 80s, well 7 is close to what, 16 years old, 17 year old? And that one was financed through bonds, and we're still paying on that one. Well 8, the city took the move, that's when we first started to increase quite a while ago, we were able to pay for well 8, and now we're at well 9, and we're able to pay for the well itself, the the transmission lines, the $2.6 million, were able to pay for that instead of financing these projects lately. And that's what's been really nice to look at. Any other
bonds?
The bond on well 7, do you know when that will mature?
Oh, on well 7, 2016. 2016 is the last year that we make a payment. Fire flow. Gosh.
I haven't heard that one.
Was that the one for the tower and the transmission line? From well 7? Oh, the loop?
We have, I'm just...
That one being on a bond.
That one's gone. There's no payment.
We have latecomers fees on it for that particular one.
Get a payback on it, yeah. But I don't think there's any bond on that.
Yeah. We only have five.
We just have five. We have Broadway, Main Street, City Hall, Well 7, State Route 24. So those are, so that's not, it's not a payment anymore.
The philosophy on the council, at least as long as I've been on, is always try to pay cash. That's what we'll save up for years before we put a well in. Or like we saved it for the fire truck 4 or 5 years. We put away money every year. We bought our new ladder truck 2 or 3 years ago. We paid cash for it. So we save a lot of money and interest and things like that by, you know, being patient, working the plan, the program that we have set aside, you know, and then doing it that way. And it's been very, very, it's really helped the city not spend money on interest, you know, and kept the money in our own coffers instead of having to go somewhere else to the banks or something. But it's really, really helped the city stay financially stable. In fact, a comment made by Joe Schmick and Mark today at Mark Chesler, who were in town today, both of them said they wish a lot more communities like Othello existed. They said a lot of cities are on the brink of, they just barely got enough money to make it. So because we've been patient and not got in debt, you know, we have the benefit now of having a city that can do things. Because I know when I came on, we had a lot of steel lines all over the place. Terry can talk about those leaking. You know, I remember going down roads and seeing them come up through brand new roads. And the water coming up through the brand new roads we just put in because the vibrator put a hole in it. And we spent a lot of money updating the water, the sewer, the drains, everything. And it pays. So because of that, we have less employees in public works. You're going to pay on one end or the other. We can let the system get old and we can hire lots of people to take care of it. Or we can keep the system up and, of course, have a very efficient public works like we do. They all work hard. They do a lot of work, get it done, and they help keep the costs down because of that. And we've had the benefit of being able to live that way because of taking care of what we have, our infrastructure.
One thing a lot of communities are fighting is failing infrastructure, and we don't want to get into that position. That's one of the reasons that we need to maintain our rates at a high enough level that we have the money to maintain our infrastructure in to a level of service that the customers have come to expect.
Any other questions? Good questions, though, John. Thanks. Appreciate you. Okay, thanks, Spencer. 2.03, finance report. Spencer again.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. I have before you October's, or the investment report ending in October of this year, October 31. As you know, we have two different investment portfolios. Here's the first one is with LGIP, and then the second one is with the Bank of America. I wanted to mention a few things about each one of these portfolios. LGIP, first of all, you'll see a big dip in the month of May this year. This was a $1 million transfer that we made. We talked about it in council meetings a few months back when we made it, probably in April, before we made it. So if you see that, that's very much on purpose. A big piece of this, the largest piece of this, was the new Vactor truck. We needed to grab some dollars to pay for that. I just didn't want you to be alarmed if you saw a negative, almost $1 million change in investment. So here's the second investment portfolio. This is the Bank of America portfolio. This is the portfolio that we're in the process of changing over to U.S. Bank. Right now we have, as of October 31st, we had Bank of America hired as a management company, not only to hold the funds, but we paid them roughly $18,000 a month to roll our bonds over when they mature and keep them rolling to reinvest those items. And the rates, the interest rates, the way they're at now, that extra $18,000 that we were paying every year, it's just becoming more and more evident that we don't want to do this. We can do different things and hold on to our own money. So right now we're going to the U.S. Bank. Most of our bonds have already transferred over in the month of November. And so our next investment report will be very different. We might have a few stragglers here to report in the Bank of America investment portfolio, but we'll have the large portion of these funds in with U.S. Bank. And the reason we're seeing more negatives here, we started having negative changes in values of that investment. It's not necessarily that we're getting a negative return. It's just when we put the low return next to the management fee that we're paying, that has an effect that we don't want for the city. And it's happening a little more down here in more recent months. For one main reason, we have one account with Bank of America that has all of our bonds in it. That account holds our bonds. It also holds our the cash for the matured bonds. Lately, because we're planning on taking all of our bonds out of Bank of America, they haven't been rolling over that cash, those matured bonds. They haven't been rolling that over into new bonds. So when we don't have, basically we have that cash just sitting there, and it's not earning money for us to help offset the management fees. That's why we're seeing some of these negatives in some of the recent years. That is going to drop off with U.S. Bank, because we'll have, we're going to be taking on the role of managing those funds. When we have bonds mature, we'll contact them and we'll purchase bonds that meet the money needs of the city, so we have investments that are maturing at appropriate times for our needs. And also we can control the rate of the bonds, and we can kind of shop around. So we're going to be getting more control of that portfolio. With that said, are there any questions?
So the transfer, you feel, is going over really good?
I think it's 99% done. It's almost done. Very close.
What was the difference going to be? I know we were paying out about $18,000 in fees, and what was our fees going to be with USA?
We have some fees that we're going to be paying no matter what. You have to go through a broker to purchase the bonds. So we're going to have some of those fees. I don't have that figure off the top of my head. It'll be significantly less than the 18 months.
Thank you, Spencer. Okay, 2.04, TIB grants for street improvements. Terry?
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Tonight we're going to discuss a little bit about our TIB here, Transportation Improvement Board. Earlier this year we went out for and wrote some grants, and I think we shamed them here a year ago when we got some money laid aside by TIB and forgot to give it to us. So we pushed on them pretty hard, and we submitted three different projects. Two of them got awarded here. The third one didn't, which was down on Scutney Street on the north side for sidewalks from 1st to 7th to finish that portion of it out. They did award us 1st Avenue and 14th Avenue. 1st Avenue being a reconstruction and a total construction on 14th Avenue, which includes a water main replacement there. There is a match to these items here. 1st Avenue, the project cost was $455,300. TIB awarded us $409,770. The match for the city, 10% of that is $45,530. The second item there is 14th Avenue, Cemetery Road to SR 26. That project estimated cost was $2.4 million there. They awarded us $1.9 million, and our match off of that would be $490,000. That's 20% match. We plan on these projects going through design, environmental permits, et cetera, to complete those, we would work through the 2014 year to complete all of that stuff to get it ready. We'd go to bid as soon as we can, preferably in 2015, the first of the year, and get them out. The contractor's a little hungrier. We thought that these two projects, if we combine them together, we can get a bigger bang for the buck, so to speak, and TIB also thought that same thing, so we kind of put them together down around that end. I'd like to show you this other slide here off of, yeah, please. Can you do that for me? This is Main Street right here, and this is 1st Avenue right here. And from Main to Spruce is the section that they're talking about here off the 1st Ave project for $409,707. They're going to do an overlay on that project right there, grind it, overlay it. We've got some storm in it. I'd have to get all the logistics off the specs on that, what they would do. But this is the portion of one project from here to here that we're looking at. Now, the mayor's asked me if there's a possibility that we could flip-flop this and throw this down at 26 and bring it back up from the south. TIB won't allow us to flip it, or we would start down there and start back. So this is where one of the projects is, right in here.
So that's also paying the water infrastructure underneath the road?
There's some storm in there that we'll work on, that we need to work on, and I believe it's included in this cost.
Oh, okay.
We don't have any so-called water that I'm aware of. I want to look at the rest of the logistics before I give you all. I just haven't seen all the specs on it. But I know we covered storm in there because our concern was the storm in this area right here, Pond, and we wanted to make sure that was taken care of down through this business side of it. It really needs to carry on and carry down towards 26 on the storm side. So when you get down further down towards Elm, down at the bottom right here, you have an AC water line down here where the new store is off of Elm and First there. There's an AC water line that'll have to be replaced as well when you get down that far, and it runs clear on down to 26. So go ahead and flip me the next page there. Yeah, let's go to the property owner's here.
Do you have a question, Ken?
Well, yes and no. When we're talking about our city portion of, say, 14th Avenue to Cemetery Road to 26, when we're talking about that city match money, that also can include our partners in that. Is that correct?
Yes.
In other words, we're not going to be out that $490,000. We got school, we got Olson, we got several others up and down the road there that can pick up part of that portion.
Can you back me up just a little bit to the map here and show some property?
Quite a bit.
Can you I'll get to your question there, Mr. Kaler, here in a minute. Okay, here's the other map here that I've got as an attachment. This shows the property owners, the players in the game here. You've got the school district here and here, Olson here. There's a little short section of gemstone here. It's been built. This is just kind of a blend area here because this has already been done. And then you have Hampton here, clear to 26, and you have right here DDM Enterprises to 26. These are the players that are involved in 14th Avenue. So let's flip to the next screen there. This is this here shows you the percentages of 14th Avenue that these people are responsible for. Shows you what their percentage is here of the project for 100% of it. You see City of Othello down here, 38,220. Then you come over here and you got the waterline replacement, 21,606. This is their totals on this side here for the that they would be required to come up with. And here's this 490. And this is a total of all of this right here to equal this. So the players that are involved on 14th Avenue are all listed right here. And their front footages of property, the percentage of the overall project, and then their match, water, street, and total.
And they're all aware that's coming towards
it. They're all aware of it. They've been aware of it for a couple years here when they built the school. They talked about it. There's some people that have put some money away. I believe Mr. Olson has. Has talked to us before. We get down a little later in the year here. We get everything kind of ironed out. We'll send out letters again, letting them know how far we are on this so that they're all aware of that in 2015. We got funds for this, so in 2015 we'll be going out to bid so that we can get something happening on that road.
The unfortunately, the Hampton property is still in the county. So we can't assess them. I think we could have a latecomers or on that, but we can't assess them for any or collect anything from that property until it's sold or until it's brought into the to the city.
So your plans then this year are to do the water main replacement?
No, the plans this year is to do all the design spec work, do all the permitting, the SEPA, get all of that out of the way so that we can get it all drawn up to go to bid. That'll happen in 2014. You see in my agenda memo, you see down at the bottom here in the budget side of it, and I could only quote 2014 because we haven't got 15 yet, but you'll see down here that the waterline replacement here is $300,000. That was actually a capital request because we knew that we didn't know when 14th Avenue would go, but we knew it was $277,000 was the engineer's estimate off of it. You also see the street overlay money of $200,000 there as well. So those are the capital monies that we have available for 2014, just to keep you abreast of what we do have in there for what we got to do. I know it won't go down on in 2014, but this kind of gives you an idea of what we were planning for in case the project took off.
Questions? Jerry?
Thank you.
Okay, well 5 and well number 8 update. Terry again.
We had a couple well failures here. We had well 5 and well 8. Well 5 was back in July. We actually lost the thrust bearing to the lower part of the bowls. It came off and it took the screen off the bottom. They fell to the bottom of the well. And unfortunately, it caused the bowls to grind themselves down, and we actually had to pull the well. There was some cost incurred in that. The cost for well 5 was $64,281.60. We did some checking. I think one of the council members had wanted us to check into the insurance portion of it, and we did. Our deductible off of that is $10,000. So when we turned that over to the insurance and they did some investigation and we took pictures and we sat down for probably 6 hours with the inspector and we went over this and I think they looked at 5 as a factory defect there on that bowl set, and anyway, minus our $10,000 deductible, we ended up getting a check from the insurance company for $54,281.60 on that's on well 5. We have the same deductible on well 8. We do know that that the cost for the repairs is $96,880.46, but we don't. It went to the adjuster, and the adjuster said by the end of this week he should have something back to me as to what that would be, what the check would be to the city. Just food for thought for the council, sitting down talking to the inspector and the adjuster, is that we have insurance to pay for these, and it's nice to have insurance to pay for them, but we got to kind of watch how much we put underneath the insurance if we have too many of these, because what it does is it forces some criteria where the insurance company will come back and put criteria on as to whether you have to pull these wells every 5 years just to take a look at them and put them back in the hole. They did mention that because it does affect your insurance premiums as well if you have too many of them. Now, we haven't had any, but they've done some quite a few of them around, and they just wanted to give us food for thought, so to speak. These are the only two that, since I've been here, a little over 5 years, that we put on the insurance. So it's good to do that in the time that we are right now. So anyway, I should have a little more back on well 8 here as soon as the adjuster gets, Spencer will be able to bank that money. So.
Question? Good job. Got
Thank
some
you.
More money back for once. Okay, Othello Police Department Accreditation Program. Chief Dennegan?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, good evening. For the record, Steve Dennegan, Chief of Police. I hope you all had a good holiday season. We did. I think one day in there we got two calls in 24 hours. So it was a really good day. Yeah. Anyway. We thought it might be a good time to come in and just refresh your memory on accreditation, because we are going to be going into 2014, which is our fourth year since we have been accredited. Therefore, we got to go for reaccreditation. And basically, it's the same process. But I thought it might be a good time, since we have a couple of new council members coming on board, and maybe a couple of you that didn't get in on the last time that we went through this, so it might be a good idea to just kind of refresh your memory. Hi, Spencer. I'm going to go to that, there you go. Let's go to the number one. Go to number two. First of all, what is accreditation? Accreditation actually has a definition. I'm going to go to number two. There you go. It's established standards of performance, acknowledged business practices, and professionally recognized organizational principles that are mandated as necessary for the particular profession or organization. So accreditation is not just about police, it can be anything. The purpose of law enforcement agency accreditation is to professionalize the law enforcement industry by providing a review process for agencies to be certified as operating under industry best practices and the standards. All of our standards find their basis in either a best practice, or they can be found in federal or state law, which there are laws out there that dictate that we do certain things in certain ways. So that is a basis for a current standard. All standards have to do practices. They are, we don't have much flexibility with them. The number of standards is about 140, or just a little less than 150. And all are mandatory for every agency. So every agency that becomes accredited is expected to do that same thing over and over and over again. The dominant verification method of the standard, and that we're following the policy, is by on-site assessors coming into our facility. They look at our paperwork, they look at all of our accreditation files, they look at our proofs. So as we go through the year, we save up files, or we do certain things, that's a proof, gets stamped, it goes to the accreditation manager, and our files are built out of that. In addition, they come in and they interview employees. They might interview me on budget matters, they might interview Lois or one of their district dispatchers, I'm dispatching stuff, I might take an officer out to the police car and say, hey, I want to see your personal protection equipment, your PPEs, and I want you to bring it all out here, and then I want you to show me that you know how to put it on, so that they know that we're teaching our folks that they need to use precautions, universal precautions, and better yet, they even know how to use them. Go ahead and go through the next ones. Spencer. Oh, you did. Dave, thanks. Advantages accreditation is it gives us a credible framework for the evaluation of policies and procedures. It highlights our agency's capability and our competency level. It improves management procedures, increased employee morale, enhanced planning and innovation. It reduces our agency risk and exposure to things like use of force, litigation, or not following through with a missing person litigation, because we're making sure that we're on top of those things. It improves agency and community relations, and it gives us a solid foundation for an agency to build upon. So we've already been accredited. We were accredited many, many moons ago, and then we were not when I came on board. We did get that accreditation in 2010, and now the goal and the mission is to maintain that so we don't lapse out of it and then have to redo it. One more. Like I said, there was 140 standards. They're all mandatory. There's 86 administrative standards and then 54 operational standards. So the operational are what the guys are doing out in the field, and the administrative standards are what we're doing inside the office. So like I said, the budgeting, the performance evaluations, we have to make sure that we do a performance evaluation on every employee every year. That's the way it is. So all those standards have to be met. Go ahead. The assessment process begins with the agency self-assessing. We're going into 2014, so I have accreditation manager. We've sent him off to a couple of trainings. I went and listened to it and make sure that we're good on all the updates. But we're going to get into a point where right after the first, we're going to start to be scheduling meetings make sure and look at our files, make sure we look at our proofs, and we see where we're at as an agency. And we'll actually go out and conduct interviews and audits. I audit the evidence room on a regular basis, unannounced and announced audits once every year. But I will go to him. He has the largest part of standards that he has to deal with, the evidence custodian, and him and I will go through, and we'll go through every one of those standards so that we look at what we're doing to make sure we're current, and also that he understands what he's supposed to be doing under those particular standards. So we compare all that, we check our proofs, and then we do a mock assessment. Once we're ready, we'll actually call a mentor, a WASPIC accreditation mentor, probably one of the guys we know from Tri-Cities. They'll actually bring in a team, and we'll do a mock assessment, where we actually go through the assessment process and we look and see, and that's our opportunity to identify any gaps that we may have, any proofs that we may need, and then to bring that current before we move right into the final process. All this has got to be done by the end of September so that we can become reaccredited in November of 2014. So that's what we're going to be working on. The good news is I'm not here to ask for any money. So we're going to take a little bit out of our training and travel to bring these people over, but as far as actual fees for accreditation, there are none. So that's the good news. Any questions? No? Okay, when we get to that point, if anybody is interested in coming and sitting through the mock or actual accreditation assessment, I'll put out the information and you're more than welcome to attend. It's pretty exciting. Thank
you. Appreciate what you're doing.
Appreciate what you guys are doing. The budget makes us live.
Committee reports. Do we have any committee reports? Unfinished business? New business? Okay, mayor's announcements. City Hall will be collecting hats, mittens, and scarves again this year for the Christmas tree in the lobby.
All items collected will be donated to the Othello Community Christmas Basket Program on December 19th. So you can bring them in here to City Hall, and they'll be happy to get them on the tree for you. Or you can put them on while you're here. They'll help you. Parks and Rec Committee will be meeting at 10 a.m. on Friday, December 6th in the Water Room at Public Works. So everybody aware of that? December 9th, 2013, the newly elected officials will be taking the oath of office for their term starting January 1st. So hopefully all of you can make it. If not, we'll figure out another time to get you in there. Anything else from council? Okay, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you everybody for coming.